Greetings from Church of the Resurrection, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find this message meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at any time. We are located just south of 135th Street between Roe and Nall Avenue in Leawood, Kansas. If you have any questions or comments, or you would like a DVD of this service, you may reach us by phone at 913-897-0120. Please ask for the Well Bookstore, or visit our website at www.cor.org, where you will find a link for our catalog. And now, may you be blessed as you give attention to the reading of God's Word.
In the words of Paul, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature, but rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." May God add God's blessing to the reading, hearing, and understanding of these words from Paul. You may be seated.
Hi, my name is Taylor Ogden Thomas, and I struggle with the sin of envy. I have always compared myself to other people. I've looked at them and wished that I could be them, and I've struggled and fought with God about why do I have the bone structure that I have. As a child, I always battled with my body image, especially in my teenage years. I compared myself and was very envious of a lot of my friends. Why did God make me the way that I am? My struggles have been constantly eating at my soul and wondering why did I always constantly compare myself, and why wasn't I just happy with who I was? For years, I have felt trapped by the sin of envy, always looking at other people and not looking at my own self. Now that I'm older, I feel like, is this really where I want to be? Do I really constantly want to look at not the beauty within my own heart, but always looking at the beauty of others?
My name is Nicole Connard. I'm one of the pastors here in Congregational Care, and I invite you to take out of your bulletin your sermon notes and your study guide. And in this time, you might want to write down some words or some things that you might want to remember. And then also, throughout the week, I invite you to take this home with you, and so that you can study some scriptures and to have some time with God and incorporate this into your daily life. I want to welcome those of you who are worshiping with us online, and I invite you just to take out a sheet of paper and to jot down some notes, and also to download the GPS guide that is found on the right-hand side of your screen. So today, we focus on the last of the seven deadly sins. We remember that this list of sins was established in the 4th century by monks, and then in the 6th century by Pope Gregory I. And he said that all Christians struggle with these sins, and that these are actually the list of sins that all other sins are derived from. Envy is the second most deadly sin. But it's known to be the nastiest and the ugliest and the meanest of all sins. And it might not just seem that way, because it's also the most secretive. Now, in some of the other sins that we studied, like pride and wrath and gluttony, you might be able to find someone or you might be able to admit to some of those sins in public. But envy? So today what we're going to do is look at five different things. We're going to look at how envy is universal and good and can sometimes be good. The root cause of envy, four symptoms of envy, a side effect, and then the prescription. So first, envy is a universal sin. We see it throughout the ages and throughout the Bible. Even in the very beginning, in Genesis, we remember that Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. And God liked Abel's sacrifice more than Cain's. And so Cain killed Abel out of envy. And then we also see envy in the Ten Commandments. And it's actually the last commandment, but it's called coveting. And so coveting and envy are the same thing. And here's how it reads in Exodus 20. You shall not covet or envy your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So it's in the Ten Commandments. And then we see in the New Testament that King Herod hears of a newborn king born in Bethlehem named Jesus. And since he's king, he is envious. And so he kills all of the newborn babies in the province out of envy. And so even in the Bible, we really do see the deadliness of this sin of envy. And we also realize, though, that there can be some good that comes out of envy. For instance, I'm an avid procrastinator. And sometimes envy can kind of spur us on to do good things and to develop characteristics in which we are not good at. So I tell you, I really am an avid procrastinator. I wait until the very last minute on chores and tasks. But I tell you, my husband Andrew actually is great at planning and organizing. And I envy that in him, that he can get things done weeks in advance. But over the years, I've seen kind of how he uses those skills and those gifts, and I've begun to incorporate those gifts into my own life. And I'm a lot better than I have been in years past. But still, I envy that, but it also spurs me on to develop the areas in which we are weak, in which I am weak in that. And so envy can help us develop those places in which we're not really good at. But it's not always like that. In our culture, there's a reason why we have the phrase green with envy. Now, this actually is because envy historically is seen as a person who is sick, a sickly person. Socrates called envy the ulcer of the soul. And then Shakespeare made this phrase popular in The Merchant of Venice, and he says green-eyed jealousy. So then that leads us to the root cause of envy. The Greek word for envy is phthonos, phthonos. And you might see in this word ophthalmology, because eyes is a part of the literal definition. It literally means evil eye. We see people who have things that we want, and then we start to adjust our eyesight to the things that we don't have, and then we end up being blinded by the truth. And we imagine the person that we envy kind of up on this pedestal, up on this throne, and we think, oh, their life is great and perfect, and it just looks fantastic. And then we look back into our own lives, and we think, and we see inside of us, we feel inferior and overshadowed. And that's because envy attacks where we are lacking or where we feel that we're lacking. Envy begins with the eyes, and then it moves to the heart, and then it starts to go through our entire bodies. And we see this in Proverbs. There's a proverb about envy that says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. One author on the seven deadly sins writes of a friend who he saw kind of was taken by this disease of envy. And his friend was happily married and had a good job and a respectable salary, lived in a good neighborhood, and his children went to great schools, and he had some good friends. He had a good life, and he admitted to that. But one summer, this guy went back to his 20-year reunion. And on this 20-year reunion, he saw people that had similar backgrounds and similar, just similarities to him. But he heard that about their jobs, which sounded a little bit more exciting, and heard about their salaries, which seemed a little bigger than his, and they lived in more prestigious neighborhoods, and their children seemed to be attending private schools, and their spouses seemed to be more educated and more beautiful than his own wife. And so how do you think he felt when he came back home? Inferior, maybe? Maybe just feeling, questioning a little bit about his life. But here's the thing. Nothing has changed in his life, except for the way that he thinks about his life. Interesting, isn't it? And so this is the disease of envy. And as in any disease, then there are symptoms. And so we have four symptoms. And I encourage you to write these down in your GPS guide and take this time just to see if any of these symptoms might resonate with you. The first symptom is that we compare myself to others. I compare myself to others. From a very early age, we do compare ourselves to others. Actually, early childhood experts say that around age 7, we start to see the similarities and the differences in people around us. And this is just a part of our human nature that we compare ourselves to other people. But it's good to know that this is also the breeding ground for envy, that we compare ourselves with those who are most like us, similar in gender, similar in status, similar in age. And we don't really compare ourselves with those people who seem kind of unattainable or way far off. Like, we don't compare our paychecks with Donald Trump, or we don't compare our sports ability to Andy Roddick, or we don't even compare our housekeeping skills with Martha Stewart. That's not a source of our envy, actually. And that's part of the reason why envy is so deadly, is because it attacks those who are around us, our spouse, our friends, our family, and our coworkers. And we begin to push people away from us because of symptom number two. Symptom number two is, I want what's yours. We want what others have. And we find this most in children. If you put a toy in the middle of the floor between two kids, and one of the kids gets the toy, what happens to the other one? All of a sudden, you hear, I want that. And you know that happens. And envy begins. And then it continues throughout childhood. And we especially might hear it in siblings. And you might hear this around siblings, or you might be a sibling in which you've said some of these in years past. You might say, I want the cupcake with sprinkles. Or I want that Happy Meal toy. Or I want to sit in the front seat. And then we start to hear, well, why does she get to do that? Well, I never got to do that. That's just not fair. Have you ever heard any of those things? But we know it's not just in kids, but it's also in students and adults. And as adults, we want either possessions or a character trait or status. And so for possessions, our toys or our possessions tend to be a car or a paycheck or a house. And envy starts to creep in our lives when we begin to ride in someone else's car or eat at someone else's house or watch the game on someone else's TV or hear where they went on vacation or hear that they didn't go on vacation because they got out of debt. You know, and it's not just the possessions that we want, but it's also characteristics. We see people around us who are smart or pretty or handsome or athletic or thin, and we want that. We heard Taylor's testimony earlier where she talked about, you know, struggling with her envy in the way that she sees her body and her body image. Now, it may or may not be body image to you or planning and organizational skills like me, but what characteristics do you see come naturally to some people but are harder for you and are things that you might want? And then the third thing, it's not just possessions or characteristics, but also status or achievement. This can manifest itself through wanting admiration of peers or a job or an award. And I saw this most evidently when I was living actually in Washington, D.C. I was there for a seminary for a few years. And while I was there, there were only just a few places, but there were some places in which the sole purpose of the reason why you would go there would be to be seen. You know, you would want to be seen by certain people or to be on a certain list or to be invited back or even to get to know that person that's kind of one step ahead of you so that you can kind of get to know their connections and move on up the line. You know, just a few places, but that's also another way that we might want status or achievement. So I ask you, which area do you struggle with? Is there a possession, a character trait, or a status that you want? And I encourage you just to note that in your GPS guide right now. So then the third symptom of envy is that we not just envy others, but we want others to envy us. So symptom number three is, I want you to envy me. Now let's be honest. We really do want this. We want to be envied. We want to have it all, and we want other people to measure up to us. Because in our brains, there's actually this psychological fulfillment that happens, and it actually makes us start to feel a little bit proud. And either intentionally or even unintentionally, this can come out in two ways. We brag about some things, and we hide others. So the first thing we do in order to be envied is that we brag. We name what school our kid goes to, or we name what neighborhood we live in, or we name what our child is doing or what our grandchild is doing. And sometimes it's a key reason for buying that 73-inch high-definition TV just to be the envy for others in our neighborhood. Or a car's main feature might be performance and reliability and even maybe a little envy. Mark Twain says, a man will do many things to get himself loved, but he will do all things to get himself envied. The second thing we do to be envied is that we hide things that would damage how we look to other people. And sometimes we can act like everything is really going quite well, but it really isn't. And we don't share what life is really like for us, and that we try to keep up this appearance that life looks easy for us. And so I invite you to think about last week, just this last week. Was there ever a time in which you bragged or that you hid things just because of the way it made you look? Now the last symptom, and there's only one more, but the last symptom is symptom number four, and it's a little scary. And it says, we secretly think, I want you to fail. Inside of us actually grows this deep resentment. And one of the main ways that we show this resentment is through complaining or gossiping. And we start to chip away at a person's character. And we say things like, he's really athletic, but he can't shoot any free throws. Or, he's got a nice lawn, but it's not like he has anything else to do. Have you ever said that one? She's a pretty girl, except for her nose. And she'd be fine to hang out with if she wasn't so annoying. So all of these are maybe some things, obviously I might have said some of these to come up with them, but to be able to, that these are some of them that we all say. And actually one author said that 80% of our criticisms have their roots in envy. And there was actually a New York Times article a few months ago from the National Institute of Radiological Sciences in Japan. And they were looking at what does the brain do when we envy? And they found out that when their participants admitted to envying, they actually felt physical pain. And that the more that they envied, the more that the pain nodes in their brain would flare. And then they found out that when the participants imagined something bad happening to the person that they envied, the pleasure centers in their brain went off. Isn't that scary? And the people who felt the greatest envy had the most pleasure when something happened to the person in which they envied. And just when you think envy can't get any more deadly, there's a powerful side effect that happens. And we don't even realize it, that it damages our love for others, but envy also damages our love for God. Our envy actually says to God, the life I have just isn't good enough. I need new stuff. I need to have a different life with different perks. I want life on my own terms, with my own energy. And I can do better. I can do life without God. When we reject the life that God has given us. So let's review. Why is envy so deadly? But we compare ourselves to others. We want what we don't have. We want to be envied. We want those around us to fail. And as a side effect, we reject God. So now that you know how deadly envy can be, and you might be feeling quite just horrible about all the symptoms that you might be finding in your own life, I know I was too. Just in this, where's the good news? And the good news comes in our scriptures. And in this scripture, Paul writes to churches in this region of Galatia who were struggling with how to act towards one another. And Paul reminds them that they are free people in Christ, that they are free people, and they actually have a choice whether to live in envy or to live differently. And he warns this: do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then he describes a lot of what we just went through. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. And then Paul lists different sins that separate us from God, and envy being one of them. But he doesn't stop there. Here's the good news. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here is our antidote. We walk in the Spirit, not gratifying the sinful natures and our desires. We find out that through Christ, God has led us out of sin, and we are free to live in a whole new way. And God can help us overcome this tendency of the sin of envy in our lives. God can get rid of this thorny disease and replace it with fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit are actually characteristics in which God, when God works within us, these fruit or these characteristics come out in our lives. And so to replace the sin of envy, each characteristic or trait for our prescription is going to have an action on how we can cultivate that characteristic in our life. So I want you to write down this prescription after we heard all the deadliness of this sin. I want you to hear the prescription as well. So I encourage you to write these things down. And it's actually going to be a pretty long list because it incorporates all of the fruits of the Spirit. But I want you to pick two of them. Just pick two that you can do this week. The first characteristic is love. And that's the first fruit of the Spirit. And our action to cultivate this in our lives is to know the love of God. The good news is that the love of God is not dependent upon our comparison with other people. And our worth is not wrapped up in our character traits or our status or our possessions. Instead, know that you are a loved child of God. And one of the ways that we grow in our love for God is by coming to worship. And that can't be one of your two, but good job doing that. And that is a time where we remember that we are loved children of God. And as we continue to grow in our love for God, we also know that we can read scripture as what we have in our GPS guide. And we can also become a part of the life of the church. Now, the second characteristic or fruit is joy. And the action is to find joy in your gifts. In the midst of envy, we do forget what we do have. And realize that you have certain gifts or abilities that really just come naturally to you. And know that you have these gifts, that God has given you these gifts. And so I encourage you to write these gifts down, or to even ask the people around you that are closest to you, what are you good at? And have them to tell you that, and remember and realize your gifts. The third fruit is peace. To accept our weaknesses is the action. We know that we all have weaknesses, all things that we're not good at. And so for the things that we can change or want to change, ask those people who are good at them about some tips and ways that you can incorporate that into your life. But for the things that you know that you can't change, come to a place of acceptance and to know that it's okay to have weaknesses, to accept them. The next fruit is patience. And the action is to look closely at the object of envy. We remember that when we envy someone, that we can often put them up on this pedestal, and we can put them up on the stool, and instead take them down, take a closer look, and realize and remind yourself that you do not have or know the whole story. That you do not know the whole story. And look closely at the object of envy. The next fruit is kindness, and the action is be kind. So to be kind, because we know that the virtue of envy is kindness. As our kindness increases, our envy decreases. And there's many ways in which we can do small acts of kindness. We can compliment someone else. We can be able to appreciate them, or we can be able to just find ways in which we can care for them. The next fruit is goodness, to celebrate the differences. We each have gifts, and it's important to call out those gifts in the other people that are around you and tell them, you know what, you are good at this, and to be able to accept that, and to help people see and use their gifts and know that we are all different. The next fruit is faithfulness, and that is to serve. Jesus shows us that to be faithful is to serve, and so that's our action. When we serve, we challenge ourselves to get out of our comfort zone and to compare ourselves with those people who are not like us. And that's one of the reasons why when we go on mission trips or do mission work, our perspective changes, and therefore our life changes as we realize other people around us. In today's bulletin, there's even many ways in which we can serve in our community, like buying school uniforms or tutoring children or going to Honduras. The next fruit is gentleness. And that action is to watch our words and actions. We want to be envied, and so therefore we brag and we hide. And instead, watch your words and actions when you're around people. And to be able to share with people what's going on in your life besides all that meets the eye. And our last fruit is self-control. And in self-control, our action is to acknowledge envy. To acknowledge the envy. For the past few weeks, I've had this message in mind. And so there have been about 10 times a day where I can say out loud, I envy that. So I found myself saying that over and over. And it's an amazing thing of what happens when you do that. You bring the envy out of hiding, out of darkness, and bring it into the light, and you admit and confess that you struggle with it, and then it stops. All the side effects, all the symptoms stop. And you don't let it get deadly. And so the last part is to acknowledge the envy. Earlier we saw how Taylor struggled with the sin of envy. And now I want you to see how Taylor is now using some of these fruits of the Spirit, some of these actions, and incorporating those into her life and overcoming this sin with God's help. I invite you to take a look at her testimony.
I think that we can be envious of so many things, whether it is somebody else's, you know, body image, or whether that is looking at other people's houses and what they have. I think lately the sin of envy is not so much holding me back from my relationship with Christ. I feel actually closer to Him because I'm really examining my own heart. And I've been taking lots of walks and really taking time to spend with Jesus. Letting go of the sin of envy has actually strengthened all of the relationships that I have in my life. I have been able to look closer at really who the inside of people are and their heart, and not so much at the outside. This is what we have, and let's make the best out of what God has given us and rejoice with one another and not compare or be jealous, and just be.
We have a prescription to fight this disease. We can stop envy from consuming our lives and becoming deadly. And we can live in a different way. We can live with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And for all the sins in which we have studied, God offers forgiveness and an opportunity to live a new life, free from sin. Let us pray. O gracious God, who loves us more than we could ever imagine, forgive us for all the ways that envy takes root in our lives, for comparing ourselves to others, for wanting what we don't have, for wanting to be envied, and for wanting our friends even to fail. O God, we are truly sorry. Help us to live differently without this disease, and fill us with your Spirit, so that we may be people who walk in your ways all the days of our lives. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.